All right, so our pop-up podcast, we are actually doing this from the hotel bar and where the team is here in Salt Lake City. We're in Salt Lake City. This is one of those deals where I have no idea who's going to come by. And then when somebody does come by, they're just going to put on the headset because it's right before the time where the team heads out. So Jordan Simone just walked down. So we're just going to, just throw a headset on. These are pop-up podcasts.
Wow, I like this.
You like this, yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice little setup.
Do you want a Heineken?
Absolutely.
Have
a couple.
A couple? Can you let him know?
Yeah, I'll let him know.
No, I mean, just wave him over. We'll take two more.
He's not paying attention to us.
No, it's fine.
We'll get the beers.
When did you get in?
I'm not worried about it.
You don't mind me having a Heineken while we're talking?
No, I wish I had one. We'll get one. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, we're not going
to
stop.
I got a gluten intolerance, so maybe I'll stick to something else.
Do you know other people here in the bar?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Gabe Cagwin. Yeah. Works in advertising or fundraising.
Something
like that.
There's a lot of people here. It's early.
Yeah.
It's early.
Every flight seemed like it was booked.
Yeah.
Every flight was sold out. A lot of fans traveling.
I came up with Tim Hovick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know Tim?
Oh, Tim's the man. Great guy.
No, here's the thing with Tim. So I've known Tim a long time.
Okay.
He's never been to Salt Lake City.
Really?
Never.
This is my first time not as a player being here.
So this is like I'm not going to say it's dull. I've been coming here for 30 years, and so I'm just old. And for me, this is one of those towns where I kind of like it. It's low-key.
I love
it. It's not Corvallis.
I do not like Corvallis, not one bit.
We'll take two more.
Couple more Heinies.
Couple more Heinies.
Please.
Yeah, bring them on over.
Got to say please and thank you. I love it here. I got a chance. I got here early this morning, so I got a chance to walk around the city. Because, last time I was here was in 2015 when we played.
Yeah.
And didn't get a chance to really check out the city. Because we had some strict rules about leaving the hotel. But now I got a chance to go out. It's beautiful.
What did you check out?
I went down to this mall over here.
Yeah.
There's a mall just north of our hotel that was great. Walked around, went to the Apple store. Didn't get anything. But
you're getting married. You can't afford to go to the Apple store.
Exactly. Saving. Got to save everything.
Jordan Simone is with us. Former Sun Devil, sideline reporter, part of the broadcast team. How's the sideline stuff going?
It's going great.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love it. It's I'm not in year one. I'm in year two.
Yeah.
So I got to be better. I got to bring more.
We have a better product.
Exactly. And I've got a lot more experience now just from having been on your show several times and running around. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll probably do another one.
Cheers.
Keep it open. Yeah. Cheers. There you go.
A couple of Heinekens.
So, what I'm wondering is it easier for you in year two? Because you have a better product. I'm not ripping on the team from last year, but it just felt like last season was, okay, this is a team that's probably going to end up in El Paso or Las Vegas.
Yeah.
This is a team that tomorrow, if they win, they could end up in Pasadena.
Yeah,
now, I'm not
I agree.
I mean, it is, and you know how I am.
Yeah.
I'm not one that's going to sit here and wave the banner unless I see it.
Yep. You are as objective as they come, for sure.
I try to be. And some people don't like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody just wants...
Yeah, everyone wants to blow smoke and...
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not fun being a six-win team.
Yeah. Here's my thoughts.
Yeah.
I think Utah is the most complete team in the Pac-12 from offensively to defense. I mean, a lot of people talk about Oregon, Justin Herbert, what he's been able to do, but I don't think their defense is nearly as complete as Utah's. Their D-line is probably the best in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Herm, what they're trying to do at ASU right now, is trying to emulate exactly what they have at Utah. And
really?
So, I think they're trying to compare or they're trying to play the same style of football. Utah has been a staple in the Pac-12 with Kyle Whittingham for the last 10 years and recruiting big players up front, defensive and offensive line. I think that's exactly what Herm's trying to do right now, and they've got a couple recruits today. But I think you look at their team, and they run the football. They've got a great quarterback, great running back, got a host of receivers, and they just play solid. Offense, defense, special teams. That's why I think they're the most complete team in the Pac-12. Having said that, I think ASU can compete with anybody in this conference.
Well, why have they beaten them the last 2 years?
What's that?
Why has ASU been able to beat Utah?
Because they've dominated
the last
them physically. Physically, they've dominated.
Okay,
they beat them at their own game.
So you're talking about recruiting. Here's the beauty of doing a pop-up podcast. We can actually take 15 minutes if we wanted to and just say, why has ASU been able to beat up on Utah?
Yeah.
And you can actually not do the 10-second, 15-second on the sideline. Thanks, Jordan, to the next play.
Yeah.
So espouse it. What's going on?
I think that they just beat them up physically last year. You watched the tape of that game, and I watched it this week. They just, you know, you see the offensive line getting a great push on run plays. They're getting 4 yards up the field, the offensive linemen are. It's just impressive because they still had the same players last year, Utah did. But at the same time, I think Utah has a bad taste in their mouth after that game. I think they're looking at ASU like it's time for revenge. And Utah fans and Utah thinks that ASU is one of their rivals because we always beat them. I think they've beat us 2 times since they've joined the Pac-12. I think it was, I don't know the year specifically. But ASU's been able to have their way with them. They make them uncomfortable. ASU's always done a great job of just being physical and beating them at their own game. I remember when I was playing in 2014, Devin Booker was having an unbelievable year.
He was a great back.
Unbelievable year.
Yeah.
They put that number 23 on every practice dummy and said, our goal is to destroy him. They made that the focus, and we went out, and I'm pretty sure we held him to under 100 yards, and we're just so aggressive. Mm-hmm. They said, anytime he's held up in a pile, you run full speed. Don't hit him after the whistle, but you run full speed and try to just lay into him and let him know how physical we're going to be. I remember Travis Wilson after that game came up to
their
me and said,
quarterback.
Yeah, he said, dude, I've never been hit so hard in a game at playing you guys. He's like, I've never been so sore. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want tomorrow. That's the team that, and you know what? I think ASU likes playing Utah because they want to run the football, and they still run the RPO, all that good stuff. But I think, Merlin Robertson, Darian Butler, those guys are going to be happy because they know they're going to get run and not 65 passes like last week they're having to run around and go
that's
from
hard
place
last
to place.
Week. That's just hard.
Yeah, it's difficult
and
to play
taxing, that. That's taxing because they're throwing it all over the place.
What do you think? What do you think about this matchup? I'll get your thoughts.
I feel like...
By the way, you look great after double knee replacement, man. You look great.
I've dropped a lot of weight until I'm having Heineken's with you.
What'd the doctor say? He said that you had to drop some weight, and you just, okay, and you lost it right away, right?
I had some help.
Yeah, I mean, but that's impressive, man. No, doctor says, hey, no. Do this, and you go.
Doctor said.
You answered the call.
So this is the beauty of pop-up podcasts. I can actually talk about the knee for a bit. Mm-hmm. So because you're asking, and I'll just be straight about it, it was supposed to be one knee at a time.
Yeah.
And because he said, I don't do doubles because of your weight and your height. I can hold weight pretty well. Even by my standards, I was heavy.
Yeah.
Okay. Because my knees were just shot. There was nothing left inside of them.
That's terrible.
And so.
Just all cartilage?
Yeah. It was
gone.
When he got in, it was bone spurs. It was, it was nasty on both of me. And I've had 6-7 surgeries.
Yeah.
So he says this to me, and it was kind of a challenge. Like, well. And I believe, just through God saying, no, I'm going to test your patience here.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks before surgery, I get a call. Yeah, your surgery date fell through. We got to push it back. And I'd already started losing weight.
Yeah.
And the poor lady that told me this thought I was going to rip her head off. Instead, the next week I called the doctor and said, you know, you told me 3 weeks ago I need to drop weight. I've already started.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've lost the date.
Yeah.
August 13th, I can be at this number. And he said, okay, if you can be at the number, done. It happened. True
nice.
Story. And then I actually got way below the number.
That's what I heard. I heard you just killed it, man. What were you doing? What was the secret?
Isogenics.
Really?
Isogenics.
Really?
I have not disclosed that, but because we're sitting here having Heineken's, that stuff's the deal.
Yeah.
That
is it just a diet? Is it a diet? Or?
Yeah, it's shakes. It's and also... In the middle of summer, it's not hard to lose weight if you get up at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and you don't drink Heineken's and you just ride your bike in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. It's
not
so hot.
Hard. And
so
it's
hot.
Not hard if on a Sunday, even with your knees dragging and there's no one on a golf course, you say, I'm going to go play.
Yeah.
And you're just dripping. So, you know, I got in 12 pounds under what he wanted me to be for
Good
surgery.
For you, man. People don't know that. That's not a... an easy task to lose the weight and then prepare yourself mentally to have a double knee replacement, because my full-time job is seeing knee replacements and I provide a cement for...
How long you been doing it?
See, I started in April, so what is it, 8 months almost? 8 months, yeah.
You like just it? About.
I love it, yeah. I love medical sales industry is really interesting. Obviously, I love broadcasting and that's what I want to do to fulfill my passion, but financially, medical sales is a great industry to be in.
It's doing well?
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. I'm the manager of Arizona and New Mexico.
Good for you.
So it's good. Yeah, I work under actually a former ASU player. His name's Barry Alford. BJ Alford was Pat Tillman's roommate.
Yeah.
He's Pat Tillman's roommate and best friend, and gave the speech when the statue was unveiled at ASU Stadium. And great guy. Hooked me up with this job, and it's been going great. So
here's the thing about Jordan that I can share on a pop-up podcast, and that is when you're doing your thing and you're trying to figure out life after football, it's not easy.
Yeah.
And anybody
difficult.
Who says that it's easy doesn't get it.
Yep.
And I've seen 30 years of former players like, okay, now what? And Jordan, there's a couple things I introduced Jordan to, and Jordan was like, yeah, great. And you were open to everything. And then you said, I'm going to go do this and keep broadcasting going. Because trust me on this, when you're killing it in broadcasting, you are so similar to Adam Archuleta's trajectory, it's stupid.
Really?
It's just stupid. Other than you need to do some high school games, just, you know.
Yeah, to
but the,
get more
But
practice.
The trajectory is dumb. You guys are exactly on the same deal, and he's now the number three or four NFL team guy.
That would be pretty
with
cool.
With CBS.
That would be pretty spectacular to be able to follow in his footsteps. He's an ASU legend, man. I remember hearing about him when I was young, and I had the chance to meet him. He seems like a great guy. I haven't had a chance to really sit down and talk with him, but would love to meet him and talk with him more. But yeah,
that's good.
Everything's going good though.
Yeah,
Jordan double Simone's knee replacements. Double knee replacements. No joke, guys.
So double knee replacements. So you asked me about tomorrow. Getting back to the game, I feel as though I wouldn't come up here for a bad story. I'm just in that space in life now where I don't want to take the show and go do coverage. Eric's going to be up here tomorrow. I've told him to follow you around and do a story on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if he's talked to you or not, but I'm filling you in. So this is
That's
what's
cool.
going on.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I'm filling you in for the TV show. I said Jordan's done well enough. I think it's time. And so if you see
That's
a
cool.
camera in your face
that.
Tomorrow, it's, yeah. So,
I appreciate that.
So anyways, I would not come up here if it was a bad story. I would not come up here for a blowout. I've been on too many road trips with too many teams. And it's like, what are we doing here exactly?
Mm-hmm.
And this is, okay, if ASU wins, they are, I'm not going to say in the driver's seat because it's a four-way tie atop the South.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still going to have to go through things. And I want the Territorial Cup game to mean something. I am one of those that hates it when people say, I want the U of A to stink and for ASU to be great because, guys, if you want to get this thing to the next level, which is continually being a top 10 team, when Auburn and Alabama are good, it's good for Auburn and Alabama.
Yep.
Now, they hate each other, and that's fine. I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you're looking at the national rankings and the PowerPoints of a conference and is a team worthy of being in a playoff, if you want U of A to lose every week, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Now, they've not won since 2009 out in the Coliseum, and I don't think they're going to win tomorrow night. I think USC is a desperate team.
Yeah.
But I want that game at the end of the season to matter.
Mm-hmm.
I want, you know, UCLA wins last night. Are they figuring it out?
Pac-12, man. So it seems
like
cannibalism. Nothing's changed.
It's
nothing's
cannibalism.
Changed. Yeah.
You know, I had Kyle Whittingham on this week. We talked about it. That all it is teams beating up on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so do I think ASU can run the football against Utah? Yeah. Eno's killed them the last 2 years. So,
you know what another interesting storyline in this game is the amount of recruits that Utah and ASU has fought over, including Jaden Daniels,
right,
who was his top two. ASU, Utah, ended up going to ASU when everyone thought he was going to, and Eno Benjamin as well.
Yep.
So these are, you know, they're playing kids that they like, dang, man, I wish I had that kid. So this it's going to be a really fun game to watch. And I think whoever wins this game is in the driver's seat. But as we just talked about, cannibalism. Who knows? ASU goes to UCLA next week. Then they have a bye. Then they have USC.
Well, Jordan,
home.
Go back on the Colorado game now.
I know. It's like
Colorado gets smoked.
Think about this.
Smoked.
Think about if ASU beat Colorado. What
are they
ranked?
About 11th, 12th, right?
They got to be top 10.
You think?
No loss Pac-12 team. Major
no loss
conference.
Pac-12 team.
Pac-12's got to be the third best conference right now.
But
behind SEC and Big Ten.
But, well, I agree with that. I think I've been arguing with this. I had Brock Huerd and Rick Neuheisel on, and both of them, you know, you look at the ACC and all the media attention given the ACC blows.
Yeah.
The middle of the Pac-12 and the below of the Pac-12, to me, is far better than what I'm seeing in the
ACC. I think you get a Pac-12 team's best game, when a Pac-12 team gets up for a game, like Stanford gets up to play UW and beats them, and then they go turn around a couple weeks later and lose to UCLA, just doesn't make sense. Like Colorado getting up, beating Nebraska at home, then the next week they lose to Air Force. Then the next week they beat ASU. And then ASU loses to Colorado, and the next week, you know, they beat Washington State, or they beat Michigan State, then they lose to Colorado. It's like, what the heck is going on here? We just need consistent play, and I think it shows the youth. The youth in the Pac-12, and Herm is playing 28 freshmen a game, rotating them in.
Yeah.
Rotating them in. And it's tough to win games when you have young guys like that and consistently win games, because it's highs and lows, and the ebbs and flows of the Pac-12, man. It's just, can you stay consistently high? And the team that's been doing that for the longest has been UW. UW has Washington.
And
has,
I don't think they're great this year.
They're not great.
Easton's very good.
I think they beat Oregon. I think they beat Oregon this week at home. And you know, being from Seattle, UW fans hate Oregon.
Oregon fans hate Oregon.
They hate them. And so I think UW is one of those teams that's still lose to Stanford, get really high for this game, and you have a nationally ranked team coming into your house, a team that's your rivals with that you hate. I think UW beats them. And Jacob Eason, if you watch him, he's as good a quarterback as Justin Herbert in my eyes. I mean, he can make every throw. And I when the season started, I wasn't bought in on him. Even though he's a Seattle kid, born and raised there, I have respect for those kids. But he had to earn all the respect from all those fans, and I think he's done it. I mean, you take away one bad game, and he's playing phenomenal football.
Jordan Simone's with us. We're at the bar here at the Marriott. And in Salt Lake City, we're having some Heinekens. Are you good? Do you need a?
I'm good. I'm actually going to dinner here soon. I gotta go up and get ready. But
okay. Well, tell me when you gotta go.
I'll let you know. Ten more minutes.
Yeah. All right.
Did you get a hold of Tim Healy?
I got a hold of Healy. I got a hold of Hovick's supposed to come down here,
nice.
and you know the Pac-12 Network guys are around, and I just sit here and just rap, do my thing. All right. So, Jaden Daniels deep dive.
Yeah.
What is he doing that is surprising even you? Because last year, I'll go back to Vegas last year.
Yep.
We talked at Vegas. Jaden was in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden was at the board in Vegas. I was talking to Rapper about this. And they were running him through everything, and he was getting everything done on the board in December. So am I surprised by what he's been able to accomplish? I guess it's just the poise.
Yeah.
I am not surprised about on the field. I'm not.
I am. I am surprised, and I'll tell you why, because think about yourself as an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
It's like when I was a freshman, one, I didn't even think I could grow a beard yet. Two, like you're trying to figure out where your English class is. Oh, I got to take biology. I don't know. He's got a full workload of classes.
Did you see the HBO thing the other night?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The girl stops him and says,
you want to go to the football game? Just ridiculous. And how about his answer? I'm on the football team. No sarcasm. Like,
just kept
like,
walking.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm on the team. Hello.
If somebody did that to you, what would you?
I would have said, oh, no, who are they playing? I would have just went along with it. I said, who are they playing? Oh, no way. Are you going? Yeah. Let's go. I'll sit with you. But no, I've just been, I think Mike Bercovici, obviously one of my best friends, is going to be at my wedding. He's coaching. He's a GA.
He's
for
not your best man, is he?
No, my brother's my best man.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's right
don't
there.
Don't go that far with
he's
Berko.
Right there. No, he's my boy, man. It's my brother. But yeah, he's just raves about him and how intelligent he is, how poised he is, how mature, coming in early, staying late. And you know, what's funny, that HBO documentary, what he said is, if I sacrifice time, I'll be successful. I'll be great. They've told me that, and I'm living up to it.
Yeah.
So he's getting there early, man. He's doing it. To try to get that into an 18-year-old kid's mind is damn near impossible. And he's doing it, man. And look at – he's not afraid of the big moments either. That's another thing. You see guys crap down their leg all the time. They throw a pick late in the game. I mean, and Colorado, he did throw a pick late in that game. But you know what? He learned from it. Can you learn from your mistakes and continually get better? And he has every game. Michigan State – leads a game winning drive. Cal leads a late drive to win that game. Now Washington State. I'm just so taken back by this young kid and what he's been able to do.
Okay. Let me flip it over to Herm. You and I have talked about Herm and the transition. It's only been about 22 months. There are still people that haven't gotten over the Herm hire and Ray, and it's just I don't understand these people.
Really?
I don't understand how they just all caught up in – well, that's Ray's buddy, and like, guys, the program is in far better shape.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my view.
I have not seen those people. I'd love to have a conversation with them because they're dead wrong. at this point, you know, 5-1 start playing 28 freshmen.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the next couple of years.
Watch the HBO documentary. Those people will change their mind because he's literally here for to make boys men.
What has he said to you?
We don't have too many crazy conversations, but I talk to him here and there. And
yeah,
he's always like when I first started doing my sideline. Excuse me. Heineken's coming up.
Heineken coming up. It's all right. We're on
the
air.
When I first started the sideline job, I got to meet him and talk with him for a little bit. And I said, Herm, you got any advice for me? He's so cool. So cool. Just took 10 minutes out of his day, started talking to me about ESPN. Hey, you know, when the time's right and you feel like you're ready, you know, I'll plug you in with ESPN, whoever, this, that, the other. Just he's just a giver, man. He wants to serve other people. And I have so much respect for people like that. And, you know, as a Christian, that's got to be your ultimate goal, is to be somebody that's described like that. This guy just cares for other people. He's a giver.
If he's 45, is he like this? I don't know. He's 65.
Yeah.
So he's so wise.
You see Kevin Mawai still hanging around here who played for him when he was probably that age. So I have a feeling he is the same. And he's a competitor, man. Has he probably made mistakes in his life and in coaching? Absolutely.
Everybody
who hasn't?
Has, yeah.
Everybody does. But he's learned from him. And, you know, it's cool to see the comparison of Jaden Daniels and him. They're kind of this very similar personality. You know, never too high, never too low. You see him come off the field. Jaden's got a smile on his face. He's talking to the other quarterbacks, talking to Mike. He's dialed in. Then, you know, Herm, when Jaden scored that touchdown, he put his hands in the air, but his face didn't change because he's thinking about the next thing.
Yeah.
He's right to the next thing. And I just have so much respect for him. I wish I could have played for him for sure, especially Danny Gonzalez, the D coordinator. I feel like I would have been.
He's a head coach next year, right?
I don't think next year. No, I think they're gonna pay him as much as they possibly can to keep him here, and then 2 years down the road, he might be 3 years down the road when Jaden graduates, he might be the next head coach, and then you got Antonio Pierce as well. How do you pay both those guys? It's gonna be tough.
I had some really Pac-12 assistants call me saying they think Marvin's gonna be the next coach.
Oh, really?
And I was like, where are you guys hearing this? And these are Pac-12 assistant coaches.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think I'd like to believe that Marvin would like to get back in the NFL, because once you're in the NFL for that long, coming back and recruiting does not sound fun. But Antonio Pierce, having his high school connections, has just killed it.
If I'm USC or UCLA, I am just backing up a Brinks truck.
Oh, they both offered him.
And
they
say,
both offered him.
You know,
do you know that? They both offered Antonio Pierce a job last offseason.
They did, but.
And they offered him big time money and salary. He said, nope, I'm riding with Herm. And he's a U of A guy.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? If I was at U of A, I'd be looking for any opportunity to get out of there. that's just a plain honest truth. You've been to Tucson. It's not the best place to live. I got family that lives there now. I mean, I'm marrying into a U of A family.
Wow.
And they live down in Tucson, and I love them to death, but I will never, ever go to a U of A game that ASU is not playing in.
If they offered you an assistant coaching job.
If they offered me $12 million a year, I wouldn't go down there.
I have the soundbite now of that.
Yep.
Because she'll say you're nuts.
I hate them.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do.
I just don't. It's not that I hate the people. They're probably great people. Actually, Noel Mazzoni, I'm good buddies with his son.
Taylor's a good dude.
Taylor's a great guy.
Yeah, he's out
there recruiting. I was working in the mall, believe it or not. And
at the golf shop.
Retail, yeah, Travis Matthew. And Taylor Mazzoni comes in. We had a 20-minute conversation. I'm good buddies with his little brother, Grayson, who played at UCLA. Great people. Love him to death. I hope that their offense does well, but I hope they lose by 40.
Tomorrow.
Every week.
So you're one of those that does not want to see them do well.
I want to see them lose, but I want to see the Mazzoni family be successful.
Could you imagine, though, Jordan, you see where I'm at? You don't see where I'm at then. But if ASU and U of A came into a matchup where they were both ranked in the top 15.
Yeah. That's not going to happen. U of A is not good. They're not a good football team.
I understand that. But
their defense.
What if? I think for the betterment of this program, like, I can't tell you how badly I don't want to ever see El Paso.
Oh.
Or Vegas
both.
Bowl. Or,
I was just in El Paso. It's terrible.
But it's the idea of, okay, you win 6 games every year and you beat the U of A. So what? If you win 9 games every year and you beat the U of A as one of those 9, and you actually are playing to go to a major bowl, it may not be the Rose Bowl, but it may be. If you want to be in that discussion of going to Citrus or going somewhere
Holiday Bowl.
I mean, this year the Holiday Bowl, they're talking about ASU and Michigan.
Yeah.
That'd be terrific.
That'd be a spectacular bowl game.
But going to San Diego every year, no.
Yeah.
That means you finished third or fourth in the conference.
I think I understand the frustrations of ASU fans in that in the mid-major bowl games, but you know what? I'm a glass half full guy for sure, and I'm just thankful that they are going to bowl games, and U of A didn't go to a bowl game last year. And so I think they're on the up and up. I think you look at Jaden Daniels and Eno Benjamin could potentially come back for another year.
Give me another freshman that you're excited about, that you're really excited about, that may be under the radar, that's not getting that much attention.
That's a great question. I think receivers-wise, Ricky Pearsall, they're really excited about him. He's
you know, he's a Corona del Sol.
Oh, yeah, he's a Tempe kid.
He's
below
the radar, Corona del Sol.
I think that they look at him and they see they're a future big-time NFL draft pick.
Yeah.
And Mike, again, raves about him and says that he's our best receiver right now because he runs really good routes and has really good releases. Now, I disagree with him. I think Brandon Ayuk is a stud and potential first-rounder. But, you know, it's just the future is definitely bright. I would say that this year, to get to a Holiday Bowl or to get to play in the Pac-12 Championship would be awesome. Would be great.
If you go to Vegas or you go to El Paso, it's a disappointing season, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the Sun Bowl is a good bowl. It's a good bowl to go to.
It's been done enough, though, right?
I agree. It's
if you're going to go to San Antonio for the Alamo Bowl, okay.
Oh yeah, that's a great bowl game too. I mean, I think an 8-10 win season is a very successful season for them coming into this year. What were they predicted at? Tied for third in the Pac South.
Win tomorrow, you're 6-1.
Yeah, 6-1, and then you play at UCLA. Who knows what UCLA team you see? Kind of seemed like they were playing well. And Stanford's a good defense too.
But you should be favored.
Yep, they will be favored.
You have the Oregon State game.
Oregon State should scares me in November.
Yeah, no, I remember a couple
I got
years
PTSD.
Ago. Yeah, I was up there for that. That was the Mike Norvell, Todd Graham show. I understand.
Oh yeah, yep. So. A lot of injuries, all bad
quarterback
cold.
Stuff. It was freezing that night. Oh, I understand.
But the thing I like about this team is that they play good defense and they run the football, man. And Herm has, you know, has led that charge. So I think the sky's the limit for this team. The question is, can they sustain playing 28 freshmen, rotating them in?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the answer. It's no. They got to figure out who their guys are. They got to keep them in. They like to rotate on defense, get guys experience. But the 28 freshman thing, once you get towards the end of the year, guys get banged up. They're not playing the same. They're not bought in as much as the older guys.
They hit the wall too.
Yeah, and it's like, you know what?
Some of those guys.
When you're a senior or a junior, you have so much invested. You have 3 years of working out in the off season, doing all this, doing that. You know, you just got a lot more invested. You care a lot more, and it's hard to get that mindset into a freshman until they get to their senior year and they go, man. Like I had guys call me once I had graduated the next year and say, dude, I just want to apologize. Because I'm sorry I didn't show up to those workouts because I know it meant a lot. And I'd go kick their door down and drag their ass to freaking to the weights or whatever it was that day. But they're like, man, I'm sorry I did that. Because now that I'm a senior, I understand how much it means. And I appreciated that. But like I said, it's tough to get that mindset into somebody that's young and worried about their biology paper or their, you know, they got an English deal coming up. So.
All right, so you got to go to dinner here soon.
Yep.
Before you get out of here, anything tomorrow that really is on your radar that fans may say, wow, that's a good nugget? It's a little bit of insight.
Yeah. Man, that's a good question.
I try to have good questions.
I'd like to see him run the football, man. And, you know, throw some shots down the field. They've got good corners at Utah and good DBs, but in a good pass rush. I want to watch ASU's offensive line. That's what I want to watch. Can they protect and can they run the football? That, I think, will be the key. And then
always is in games like this.
100%. Especially this is going to be smash mouth. It's going to be pouring rain. Turnovers are going
to
be huge.
It's supposed to be pouring tomorrow?
It's supposed to be pouring rain all day. Mm. It's going to be it's a beautiful day today. I wish it was like this.
That'll be fun for the sideline reporter.
Oh, I just went out. I brought my Patagonia gear. I got everything. I'm ready to go. I went and bought some gloves. I'm like, it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think turnovers will play a big part in it because when that ball's wet, man, defense. I love playing in rain games because you know that ball is going to be slippery and tough to hold on to.
All right, get out of here. Tim Healy is right behind you.
The legend.
If you want to tap him on the shoulder and send him over.
All right. Hey.
Who else?
And
is
Sean Cressman.
Yeah.
My boy.
Yeah. I mean, you got your crew here. If you want to tap on, come on over, Tim, if you want.
You're up, buddy.
Yeah, just put
my broadcast partner.
Just take the headset and stick it down there. So see you, man. Have fun. I'll see you tomorrow or tonight or something. So so we're doing this what we call pop-up podcasts, and there's just people here getting ready for the game and some man hugs going on here between Jordan and Tim, and it's getting ready for the game tomorrow, and we're going to be doing stuff from the stadium tomorrow. Just have a seat. Throw a headset on, Tim. It's a pop-up podcast. There's no real form to it. It's just in that world of media, I've taken this idea of just set up, throw people on the air. It doesn't matter how it sounds in terms of like all the little stuff. You can hear me, right?
I can hear you.
Jordan was
mostly out of the right ear. So.
Yeah, well.
But that's fine and dandy.
It's better than nothing.
Fine and dandy.
So Jordan came over and he had a Heineken and he was relaxing and getting ready. You're having a Stella.
I'm having Stella, yes.
Do you need another one?
I'm good with this one.
You're good with this one.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks very much.
Good to see you.
Good seeing you.
How are your knees?
Jordan was asking me, my knees, so the beauty of doing this is I can actually talk to you about this. Mm-hmm. I won't go too in-depth because we've already done 26 minutes.
Wow.
And no, but it's good. And cool. Who knows who else is going to come by. My knees, Tim, I am so happy that I got them done.
Both at one time. My wife had two knee replacements, but she got them done 2.5 years apart.
Yeah.
I don't see how she could have conceivably tolerated a twofer. That must be really tough.
My wife was an angel. Mm-hmm. She's still an angel. 30 plus years. So you know how angels are.
Yes.
And so they have to be saints just to be married to broadcasters.
Yeah,
so.
Really. Isn't that the truth?
So, so both knees are good. This is really a test drive for me. The flight up, I came up with Tim Hovick. Tim has never been to Salt Lake City.
Never been to Salt Lake?
I know. I was shocked. The man,
I'm
the myth, the legend.
Flabbergasted. He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
He's the greatest.
We're in the cab, and he leans over to me. He's like, so you got to show me around. I've never been to Salt Lake City. What? Are you kidding me?
That blows my mind. That absolutely blows my mind.
I found a city Tim hasn't been to.
It's a very nice city, and yeah. I would be happy to show him around sometime because I've been here quite a bit. It's interesting how the schedule works out in the Pac-12. Every year there's usually about one or two places where you go three times.
Yeah.
You know, we play them on the road. Football, men's hoops, baseball. And I think one recent year, I think we were here all three for Utah. I don't know what locale that will be this year because I have to see what our baseball schedule's like and stuff. But
right.
But that's one of the joys. I mean, there's so many joys in this job, but just getting to travel to these great cities and yep. Pac-12 venues, and you get to kind of know your way around. Mm-hmm. I think Salt Lake is a great city. It's clean. It's easy to get around.
Good airport.
Good airport close, like Sky yeah. Harbor, yep. One of the things I really like. And you get four seasons up here.
When you were doing Cardinals and doing the three TV games with ASU, did you have to do the overnights and all that stuff? And
I did one or two. I know my predecessor, the late, great Tom Dillon,
yep.
I always thought Tom saw it as a badge of honor or badge of courage something that he was yeah. proud of to have to do those cross-country overnight things. Like, there are some announcers, you know, in different places. I think Gene Deckerhoff, the voice of Florida State, also has been the voice of the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yep.
And there are a few others. But
Dave Pash is doing it.
Yeah, yeah. He does it for the network,
for
ESPN.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
I think there were two instances where Tom Dillon actually missed the first half of a Cardinal game because of travel issues. One involved an ASU football game in Pullman, shock of all shocks.
Stunner.
And I think the Cardinals were in Detroit the next day. And the other was
That's
in basketball season. In 1991, ASU, when Bill Frieder was coach, played at Kentucky. And that was a Saturday night game. I did the game on Channel 3 television. Tom was doing it on radio for KTAR, your mm-hmm. former alma mater.
Yep.
And then he had to get to Denver, and I think there was a mix-up in his connections or something, and he ended up missing the first half of the game. I had a story when I was a student at Penn State, and I'll date myself.
Date yourself.
1972,
Nothing
my
wrong
senior
with that.
Year, I was the spotter for Penn State's radio voice, a wonderful man by the name of Fran Fisher. And we were playing Maryland, in an early November game. And I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, and Maryland is one of the major college programs, you know, that media cover in the D.C. area. And the same announce crew, the radio announcers for the Terrapins, were the same two announcers who did the Redskins.
Wow.
And
okay. Both of them.
In fact, I remember their names. Steve Gilmartin, who went on to have a long radio career in Houston, Steve Gilmartin and Mal Campbell. And they were both broadcasters. It wasn't a, you know, play-by-play guy, former player slash coach analyst. It was two broadcasters working.
It's kind of like
games.
Tom and Greg back in the
yes,
day.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Exactly like that. Anyway, it's early or mid-third quarter, and we're in a timeout, and I'm in the booth, the Penn State radio booth, and I look outside, and I could see that Mal Campbell of the Maryland announce team was leaving the press box.
Mm.
I mean, and he was leaving. I mean, he wasn't going to get a hot dog or a drink or anything. He had his bags, his coat. Clearly, he was leaving. And I thought that was really, that's weird. It's midway through the third quarter. I come to find out that the station they worked for did both the Maryland and the Redskins games. I don't know if the station still exists in Washington, WMAL Radio. It
yeah,
was
sure.
One of my, you know, standbys when I was a kid growing up.
Yep.
WMAL had a contract with the Redskins, and there was a clause in their contract that said that one of those two announcers, Steve or Mal, had to be in the city where the Redskins were playing the night before the game. And I think what happened to Tom Dillon is proof of why they wanted that. And that's, in a way, one of the benefits of having a broadcast team consisting of two broadcasters.
Yep.
Because if Steve Gilmartin somehow had travel hiccups getting from State College, Pennsylvania to Shea Stadium in New York the next day when they were playing the New York Jets,
yep.
By the way, when Joe Namath was still playing. And this was the year the Redskins went to the Super Bowl under George Allen, 1972. At least one of those two would be there and would be capable of beginning the game.
Commercials will play. The revenue will be made.
And that's basically That's all they care
about. When I was in San Diego and cutting my teeth, and Hacksaw would do the Chargers, and I would do San Diego State. And Lee did most of San Diego State games, but I would be that guy as a sideline guy that would go up into the booth. And there were a couple Charger games where I was doing the pregame and actually about ready for kickoff. And he'd come walking into the booth or running into the booth.
Wow.
So, you know, I get it. How are you handling this whole Herm transition from where it was? This isn't meant towards Todd. It's just, it's very obvious to me. I was talking to Jordan about this. I, for the life of me, Tim, cannot believe anybody is still caught up in Todd was let go and Herm was brought in by his buddy Ray. And I still have some people that will not forgive the university.
Really?
And it's just like, and this isn't about Todd or
no.
I mean, nothing there. What is it about Herm to you that maybe people aren't seeing or hearing? Because it's easy about the HBO special. It's easy about doing Herm's radio show. It's really good. Mm. You know, what is it about you that you see in him?
I mean, to be honest with you, I haven't heard much conversation like that at all. It's interesting that some people are still bringing that up to you, because it seems to me, in my opinion, I think the narrative started changing last year in week two against Michigan State. Obviously, there was a lot of eye-opening. There was a lot of criticism, a lot of head-scratching. What the heck are they doing when that hire was announced? And there's no question about that.
Did you have any of that? I did not.
I thought it was kind of an out-there hire.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew right away that when Herm came on board that the young men that would play for him would benefit greatly by having him in their life as a role model, because of, you know, you can see the dynamic personality on ESPN and on television. And the neat thing for me, one of the many neat things, I mean, and I'll just blanket it, it's been a wonderful thing for me working with Herm. He is just a broadcaster's dream. Because he was a broadcaster himself. He knows and he respects the job that those of us in the media do. He understands what we're trying to do. We're doing our jobs and that we have jobs to do.
Your post-game stuff with him, with you and Jeff, it's there's actually things being said.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh, I'm looking at my watch. I just want to get off of from these two guys. You know how those interviews can be dreadful.
Oh, yeah.
It can be painful.
Oh,
and
I
instead,
know.
Every time, he's just, it's like you guys are sitting around the fire.
Yeah. And
or
and
having a beer like we're doing.
I feel, exactly, Estella for me.
Yes, there you go.
I feel that way. In fact, I've told people that when I...
you got to run, just let me know.
In a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
When I do my pregame with him, I record with him... On Fridays and before the game.
Yeah.
If it's a home game, I go to his office around noon. On road games like this one, I meet him in his office right before we go to check in for the charter.
Got it.
And so we get that in the can and out of the way. And those interviews, I mean, I conscientiously will sit down the night before and type up my questions because I don't want to just have a brain cramp and not have something to say that's intelligent. So I prepare some questions, but when I do the interview, it evolves into, instead of like reading questions, getting answers, it becomes a conversation, and for me it becomes like a class in football 101.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, I've always felt every pregame interview I've ever done with Herm has just been real, you know, good insight. Like if I was a Sun Devil fan, I think it's just interesting stuff to hear 10 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah.
And, so he's been a, you know, a broadcaster's dream. And getting back to the point I was going to make, I think everything started changing. And clearly, a lot, you know, all the questions. You know, he hadn't coached in college in 30 years, yeah. Hadn't coached at all in 10. His record wasn't great in the NFL. I always say, you know, yes, that's true, but the truth of the matter is, 4 times in a 5-year span during his head coaching career with the Jets and the Chiefs, he made the playoffs. And his record is skewed really badly by 2 really bad years at the end in Kansas City when he had a lot of injuries. He was playing rookie quarterbacks.
I just trusted Ray. I just looked at Ray for me, and I just saw somebody who was just, we're not going to go down this path anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We are not satisfied with going to El Paso every year.
Right.
It's just, and we were better than that.
And I think the key... In my opinion, not only was bringing Herm on, but I think the key was creating this NFL front office
structure. Yeah, Al's been terrific.
And with that, you know, Al Luganville, with Gene Boyd, with all of them, the whole purpose of that paradigm, to me, is simply to ratchet up the level of recruiting, which is what they've done.
Yep.
They are getting in the homes of better players. They are getting commitments from better players. We're seeing one right before our eyes grow up this year in Jaden Daniels, and there are more like him on the way. And it's all about players, and you gotta have talent. You know, I've always said college coaching is basically about identifying talent, recruiting talent, and then coaching them up. And it seems to me they've got a system in place that will get all 3 of those objectives done. Adding Marvin Lewis to the staff has been invaluable. It's almost like he is, you know, like almost like the assistant head coach in some of the expertise he provides to the coaches away from the practice field. So
Danny Gonzalez is going to be a head coach at some point.
And
you want that. You want a staff that has future head coaches.
Yes, he is. I mean, I can't say enough good things about him. First of all, he's a wonderful person.
Yeah.
The thing I really like about Danny is that he can, you know, as you know, if you sit in on any of his Wednesday press conferences, those are must-listen to press conferences.
And I listen to him because of the knees. I haven't been in.
Yeah,
yet.
I mean, it would be worth the price of admission if they charge, but he can be brutally honest and right to the point, and doesn't mince words in talking about his team or his players. And he consistently says, you know what, we're not good enough on defense yet. We're not good enough.
What was it he said after? Was it the Colorado game? To your point, was it the Colorado game the following week?
Yeah,
I think he challenged the guys.
Yes,
like you guys,
he said they were soft.
You were soft. That's right. That's right. That was the quote. That after the Colorado game,
they were soft.
Yep.
And he can be totally. He's almost become in a very short time since moving here from San Diego an ASU sports historian. And I think he greatly admires Frank Cush and the history of Arizona State football. And he reminds me of Frank Cush in how brutally honest he is about the players. But on the other hand, he does so in, I guess for lack of a better word, I'd say almost a benign way. It's not like an insulting, demeaning way. It's clear he loves his kids. He'll tell them, you know, you guys aren't good enough. But in the next sentence, he'll always say, he has steadfastly said, but in time we're going to be really good on defense.
Mm-hmm.
He will say that every time he makes the first statement that we're not good enough yet, but we're going to get there. And it's just a matter of how soon. But I love the way that he can tell it like it is, but do it in a way that always leaves you thinking he's encouraging. He's going to build them up. He's going to work with them. He's going to coach them. He's going to teach them. And that's a great characteristic in a coach. And I think hiring a staff like that is one of the reasons why Herm has had success. And I think the perception started changing with that game two against Michigan State, beating a really good team, mm-hmm. beating them the way they did in what Joe Bugle would call the slobber knocker, you know, a low scoring defensive battle kind of game. And that last drive of the Michigan State game in some ways may almost have been for me a transformational moment early on in Herm's era, a moment
for the program.
Yeah. When they took the ball, chewed the final 4.5 or 5 minutes, whatever it was, off the clock and set up to kick a game-winning field goal on the final play, leaving Michigan State no time. It was executed to perfection, and when people saw that, it wasn't only a win over a really good team, but it was the way they did it. They just looked so well coached.
Yeah.
And ever since then, every game has been a close game. We were just thinking about it today. The only game they have lost by more than a touchdown in Herm's era was the Las Vegas Bowl, the Fresno State. They lost by 11, and that game they led in the fourth quarter.
And they didn't have their full complement of players in
exactly.
that game either.
They didn't. Nikhil
wasn't didn't
there.
Play.
And, yeah, so.
Merlin didn't play in that game.
Every.
Right?
Merlin did not play. You're right. Every game has been close down to the wire. They've won a few. They beat Utah by 18 last year. They clobbered Oregon State, and then this year the early wins against Kent State and Sacramento State were double digit wins. But every game's been a close one.
Your table's leaving. You need to go.
I think.
By the way, did you see Kent State's in first place? By the way.
Yeah, they are.
It's amazing.
They are playing well. Yeah. They are playing well, and I thought they would be a better team this year. They have a good coach, and he really did a nice job building up their offense. So. Let's do this again. So how long are you going to be here?
I'm going to sit here all night. Tell Tim to come over. Just take the headset off. I mean, that's what when you do these pop-up podcasts, and people love these because you can just sit here and actually do stuff.
This is cool.
So, yeah.
If you're still doing it, I will rejoin you.
We'll
continue the conversation.
Yeah, go to dinner. Where are you going?
Cucina Toscana.
Oh, I heard
place
about that.
Near here.
Italiano.
Went there in February with some sponsors on the basketball trip, and beat the Utes the night after, so maybe it's good luck. But that's
right.
Where we're going. Have
take
a good one.
Take your headset off. And, Tim.
Good to see you, Brad.
Good seeing you, Tim.
Tim Healy. Hey, Hovick. Come on over.
Tim Healy's going to dinner, so the pop-up podcast just continues on. All it is
Tim Hovick.
Yeah.
Never been to Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
First time ever.
He's never been to Salt Lake. So,
it's a great town.
So put the headset on and get Tim's phone and wallet out of the way. Do you need a beer? Just put your. Do you need your beer? Go get your beer. So the pop-up podcast, we're doing it here at the Marriott. We're at the Team Hotel. Fans have been coming in and out. And the beauty about doing these is it's just who pops in. Jordan Simone came by for about 25 minutes. Tim Healy and I just sat there and rapped. Tim Hovick with Santan Ford. It's all about you. Tim is one of the premier people when it comes to sports in Arizona from a sponsorship standpoint, a guy that just cares, who gives a rat's, because many do not, I must say. How's that for an intro?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, on a pop-up podcast, so we have Heinekens. Simone had a couple Heinekens. Timmy had his Stella. You got a Bud Light. You're doing all right. What are you making out of the team? Because we're just talking to people. We just rap. What are you making out of the team?
You know, it's exciting. I mean, it's my first time to Salt Lake City. And
come on now. When I got this, Tim was telling me, and Simone, they're like, he's never been to Salt Lake City. How's that happen?
You know, I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with me. I mean, I've never been accused of not being to Las Vegas a lot of times, but I've...
Hourly, weekly.
I've never been to Salt Lake City. So
the I-15 just doesn't go that far. It stops at Vegas for you.
But I think, I'm a better person today for being in Salt Lake City. I really enjoy it. It's been awesome.
There you go. I want to talk to you about Ray Anderson from a sponsorship standpoint. And because let's be honest, without Santan Ford, without the Arizona Ford dealers, and there's other sponsors and partners that have come together that are of all sorts of brands. I'm just curious how Ray Anderson is to deal with sponsors. And the people that consume this, they're big Sun Devil fans, okay? Stadium does not get redone with the Santan Club. It doesn't. So how does he to deal with its ideas and not getting caught up in minutia? Because in my opinion, through the years, minutia has been something that has held the university back. And since Ray has come on board, minutia has kind of gotten pushed to the side. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. I think it's interesting to me because I deal with a lot of the different sports entities in the Valley.
Cardinals, Diamondbacks,
Suns. Off and on. We've had relationships and those are pro sports teams, right? And I think one thing that Ray's brought, and I think it comes from his time with the NFL, is he's brought more of a business approach to college athletics. And you could probably read that a couple of different ways.
Yeah.
But I think in my world, as a sponsor and as a partner with the university and with the athletic programs, it's been a huge positive because you use the word minutia, you know, you could say red tape, you could say it just, you know, just kind of plodding through the quicksand.
I could say shit.
Yes.
And I will say shit because I can. It's my podcast. It's my pop-up podcast. Okay.
Yes.
So if we're being direct.
Yes. It's refreshing because you can cut to the chase.
Yeah.
And I think... the Santan Ford Club is a perfect example.
How'd that come to be?
You know, it came to be because ASU, I think, and the athletic department with Ray's leadership said, we want to be a player in this market. We want to offer something within our rebuild, within our stadium, that competes with the other sports entities and competes with them at the highest level. And that's exciting. I mean, it's exciting for Sun Devil Nation, Sun Devil fans, alumni.
People may not know this. You're a grad.
I'm a Sun Devil.
People may not know this.
Yes, I'm a Sun Devil. Maroon and gold beats deep within. So... Ray's been a breath of fresh air. And I think not just the football program, but you look, and I know he, in his heart of hearts, would take a great deal of pride in all of the sports. He, I think, has upgraded our coaching staffs, our facilities, the support level that they have within the university,
mm-hmm.
not just in football, not just in basketball, and not just in baseball. You know, those are kind of one by one by one. Those are the dominoes that we all look at. But if you look at the entire program, it's interesting because he has a background at Stanford. And if you look at the athletic programs here, you start to see where if we're going to have a team in that venue, in that sport, we aren't just going to be there.
Yeah.
We're going to try and compete at the highest level, whatever it is. And if we can't compete at the highest level, then maybe that isn't where we should be. But I mean,
it's my rant of I'm tired of El Paso.
Yes.
I'm tired of people being excited to win six games and beat the U of A, and that's a successful season. You know, I know that that's a big deal to everybody, is beating the rival. I got it. But you're not getting to the Rose Bowl. Tim, a win tomorrow, it's not Rose Bowl, but you're suddenly checked off an enormous box where you can get this thing back to where Jake Plummer was. You can do that, in my view. And I think, to your point, Ray is in that boat, too, and having discussions with him that it doesn't. He's going to ruffle some feathers on campus. He's going to ruffle some feathers around town. But he's tired of being this a program that's mired in mediocrity, and he's trying to get through that. That's what I see.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. It's funny. You hear the term, and I heard it earlier today. Some people were talking about ASU as the you know, proverbial sleeping giant.
Yeah.
And that's all well and good, but you can't hear that term every year for 30 years, 40 years. I mean, at some point, you've got to take a step forward, or you're not really a sleeping giant. You just are what you are.
You're sleeping.
You know, you are a 6 wins is a good year, and so forth and so on. And I don't think anybody at ASU feels that way. So it is exciting. Tomorrow's a big day. I mean, tomorrow is an opportunity with Herman Edwards, his staff, which – wow, it's a pretty impressive, and when you're around those guys and you look up and down the sidelines and you see the coaches that they've put on this staff, and you look at the players, and they don't walk by these coaches. You know, I looked the other day, they were poking fun at the Cowboys and coming off the field and walking right by Jason Garrett, nobody even making eye contact. Let me tell you, everybody makes a lot of eye contact with these coaches. when these coaches are looking, and when they're talking, these players are looking at them, and it really is exciting to watch young men be coached, and be coached in a way that you can tell it means something to them. And I watch, been fortunate enough to be down on the sidelines.
That's where you
lot.
Watch games is sidelines.
I get lucky enough to be down around it.
You'll be there when tomorrow watch, in the rain.
When you watch Kevin Mawe, and he's on his – here's a guy, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's on his knees on the sideline with a whiteboard drawing up plays as what just happened. What did you see? What did you see? One by one going through, here's what really happened. What you saw was right. No, what you saw, that wasn't what happened. Here's what happened. Let me help you with it. And he's on his knees with a whiteboard working with these kids. It really is something impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Before we let you go, Tim Hovick is with us, and we're doing our pop-up podcast. Jordan Simone came by. Tim Healy came by. We had fans gathered around us earlier. It's a lot of fun on a Friday night here in Salt Lake City in the bar. And, of course, Tim with Santan Ford. We appreciate Santan Ford and their support and us being up here. But Tim is an enormous part of what is going on at ASU. I cut you off earlier about the Santan Ford Club. What's the whole vision of that? And was it you and Ray sitting down together? Because it was a big part of the stadium that had to be demoed out. This is not just like a little stand over in the corner where they're selling some nuts or a Cinnabon, right? I mean, this is a big deal. So how'd that come to be? Because it's being used in a lot of spaces.
Yeah, it's when I first went in and looked at it, and it was last year, and I realized that it wasn't going to be a finished product in its first season.
Your idea or his? If we go all the way back to the beginning, how did it start?
If we go back to the beginning, it was, I would like to give Ray credit for it being, you know, his idea. I think it was, maybe I'd say it this way, you know, it was Ray's main course, and I think I was able to show up with a dessert tray.
Got it. And maybe
push it to a spot where maybe they hadn't quite seen where it could be. When I got involved, so their thought process, and I think it's a great thought process, is it's called ASU 365.
Mm-hmm.
They want to use that venue for symposiums, mm-hmm. for academia, for Dr. Crow holding some sort of event and speaking and having world people from every corner of the planet come in to this area at the stadium. And then I kind of got involved and I said, why would we take a back seat? We've walked down this path, you know, kind of, we're not A to Z, but we're sort of A to Q. we're right there. Could we make this thing as cool as any club level of, and we are very blessed in the Valley. Sometimes we forget. You get a chance to get out on the road, and I know, Brad, you do, and you see all these different venues and stadiums and cities, and sometimes we forget how really new our facilities are. And you go and you go to the Suns, and it's not the newest stadium in the country, but I'll tell you, it's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. You go to the Cardinals. Wow, it's pretty nice.
Diamondbacks. You know,
Diamondbacks. Yep. Pretty cool. We're really blessed with some. And my vision, I guess, to take the dessert tray, I guess, as I said, would be, why would we take a back seat? We're in the middle of building this. Let's build it right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do some things that make this absolutely at the highest end. And I think we've been able to do that. The feedback... it's funny, during games at Sun Devil Stadium, I talk to a lot of people up in the club, and they say, this is the greatest sports bar in North America for 4 hours. You look out one wall of glass, and it's the game is going on below you. All the televisions and the TVs in there are phenomenal. I mean, televisions that are 12, 15 feet in diameter. All the other games are on. I went in there for one game this year. There were baseball playoffs. There were the Diamondbacks happened to not be on because we couldn't quite get there.
Yeah.
But they had all sorts of, you know, SEC games and this, that, the other. So it's pretty cool. It's a neat thing for ASU to have, and we're very humbled to be whatever small part of it we are. We're pretty excited.
So, Ray just walked in here and he waved over at me, Ray Anderson, and at the Hall of Fame event, which was a couple of weeks ago, and it was week ago today actually, and Ray was almost, I don't know, getting choked up about the event for the Hall of Fame and having that as a venue. So. You know, without Tim and Ray getting together on this from a leadership standpoint, I'm sure there's other people involved, but I just think it's important that fans that are consuming this podcast, you're into Arizona State. You have to know that these things just do not happen overnight, and that the stadium is now becoming a world-class stadium in the 365 approach. You can't ask somebody like Tim Hovick or whomever it is to go put up signs and write checks when there's just 7 football games in there for the whole year and the rest of the year there's nothing else. That's not how business works, from my view. And Ray has had the vision of, we have to get more things in here. And so where it is 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I think it's a launching pad, and it's really interesting. Before you get off the ASU side of it, when you look at what's going on the field from a sponsor's point of view, wins and losses mean a lot. Graduation rate means a lot. Good kids mean a lot. As you're looking at it, what is it that you like about the association? Take your alumni part out of it. What do you like about the Association of College Athletics, Tim? What is it that is different from the NFL? Because people will say, oh, man, the NFL, it's everything. And it's great. It's a great product. College is just a different deal from my view. What is it for you?
You know, that's a great question, great thought. So maybe I'd answer it this way. So I get a chance to go to, in fact, I'm on the red eye tomorrow night after this game, and I'm flying to New York City. I had promised and committed to some of the Cardinal front office that I would be at the Giants game, mm-hmm. Sunday. So I clearly love the NFL, and I love the Cardinals, and I very much support them. But it is so interesting I'm very fortunate. This is my third road trip of the season. I was in Michigan State, I was at Cal, and of course here in Salt Lake,
which you've never been to,
which I've never been to, but I'm learning quickly. But
it's a good thing I have a podcast going today.
It's amazing when I talk to my friends and people that I've gone to those games with, and they're all big NFL people, and they all say the same thing. There's just something cool about college football.
Yep.
There's just, you know, when the band walks out, there's no band tomorrow. On Sunday when I go to the Giants Stadium, I'm in New York City, the hub of the world.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be a band.
Nope.
Giants don't have one. Neither do the Cardinals.
Nope.
Doesn't mean it's not a great product.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean that the band tomorrow is everything.
Yep.
But it's one thing that differentiates the little bit of back and forth banter. You and I were on the same flight today, and the Utah Ute fans and or they were probably alumni that were getting on the plane to fly
red and
up
black
there.
She stood out like, yep, a sore thumb.
They poked a little fun at me in my Sun Devil shirt.
Yeah.
There's a certain level of class, I would say, about the fans in college football.
Because they went to college.
Maybe that's true. It could very well be.
It's that simple.
It's a different animal, but it's really from an on television, coin flip.
Yeah.
In person, I don't know too many people that go to a college game or go to an NFL game that wouldn't choose the college game as a better experience. Yeah.
It's like when people say to me, why do you go out on a Friday night to high school, Saturday to college, and Sunday to the NFL? I've got kids. A lot of these kids that are on the field for ASU, even the Cardinals, when they're in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, I had DJ Foster and Christian Kirk and Brett Hundley and Byron Murphy and Terrell Suggs, and they're just dopey little high school kids. And then they go on to college, and they're a little bit more dopey. And then they go to the NFL, and you see them do their thing. And I just think that the sport of football is under siege because of concussions. This is a whole nother rant. But I believe that when you're at a high school game, yeah, it could be a little rough. And there's not quite the buzz in Arizona, but it's growing. I think recruiting with ASU and Herm shows up at games and it's like a rock star. You go to an ASU game and they're relevant. They're playing a good schedule. You go to a Cardinal game and Kyler is just a completely different player on the field from an enthusiasm standpoint. So I think we're in a good space right now. I would just like to see a sustained run at the college and pro level. High school's never going to change.
I think if you talk to people around town, one thing I think is super cool and really interesting is football fans in Arizona right now, or especially in the Valley, they feel like there are so many really unique but cool parallels between these two programs, the Sun Devils and the Cardinals.
Yeah, because of all the former players, you know, and all the NFL guys.
And you've got young, dynamic quarterbacks that have already in a short period of time proven that when the spotlight's shining the brightest, mm-hmm, late in the game, they don't shrink from that moment. They expand and they make plays, mm-hmm, and they bring their teams back. And at the end of the day, this is entertainment,
yep,
right? It's sports.
It's entertainment.
But it's entertainment and it intertwines. And it's like I can remember a chunk of years ago with the Diamondbacks when we had a really bad bullpen. And this goes back maybe 10 years. And you'd watch every game and you'd be ahead after seven innings and you'd lose the game and it was the most devastating thing to the point where pretty soon you just quit watching the games because you knew what the inevitability was. There's nothing better in sports than feeling like when it's crunch time at the end of a game, you got a real chance and you have to have that playmaker to do it. And I think that's the parallel between both these programs in Phoenix with ASU and with the Cardinals that really gives a lot of hope, optimism, and excitement. It's fun to watch the games because you sit there For instance, last week, we're down to Washington State, 10-0. Gosh, the game starts tough. It looks like, oh, my gosh, we heard Washington State can really score. We're going to be in trouble. And what an amazing back-and-forth game it was. And you just always felt like if we can get that stop late in the game and this young playmaker has the ball in his hands, look what might happen. Not unlike what we felt like against the Falcons the very next day.
No, that's the beauty of it.
And it's so exciting to see. We're just very blessed right now in the sports of Phoenix. Sometimes we haven't had that. And right now, let's enjoy and acknowledge and be grateful that we get to live and watch this. It's exciting.
From a business standpoint, do you look at, here's the number of vehicles, here's the mark that we're leaving in the valley? Meaning, yeah, this is great, Brad, and the business side of sports. I'm always interested. I do business podcasts, and I think the Business Journal in Phoenix does some very good work on it. Do you look at the number of vehicles that are moved versus the impact in the community to get the name out there? Walk me through the business side of it, if you can. If you don't feel like pulling the curtain back, it's fine. It's a very basic question about how this all works, doing sports marketing with ASU and the Cardinals and your brand. Long question.
So when you market into sports, obviously, I mean, kind of the 2+2 is if and I did, by the way, maybe that's why I do what I do. I took an advertising class at ASU and the business school. And one of the things that resonated with me was coattails. Hey, you want to grab on to something that's bigger than you. Mm-hmm. It makes you look bigger than you are. Perception becomes reality. And maybe that's some of the lasting impressions that left with me as I went through school. And it gravitated me towards some of the sports teams. But I'll share a quick story with you.
Yeah.
Years and years ago, I went back... Ford introduced their new F-150, and it was really a sentinel moment with the company. It had to work. I mean, the F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle in the United States for just about 50 years now. We're creeping up on. And I went to San Antonio. That's where they did the unveiling. I want to say it was in 03, I think. Anyway, I was struck when I went there. Everywhere I looked, everything I did, it was like a 2x4 hitting me in the forehead. Everything was Ford F-150. I looked, they had water towers out on farm fields painted.
Mm.
They had billboards. The buses had wraps on them. Every time you turned around, that was what you see. And you couldn't help but go, holy cow, it must be a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. Ford, F-150, that's the tack that I've tried to take in the valley. I've tried to take, from a impression standpoint, when you turn on sports radio, you hear something about us. And we're not shouting out $99.99. We're saying, hey, you know what? We're part of the valley. We're part of the team. We'd like you to give us consideration when that time in your life comes where you want to purchase a vehicle. And then you flip over and you watch ASU, and then you go on Sunday and you watch the Cardinals, and then this happens and that happens. And we try and continue to be that 2x4 that is in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that ties to it that I really like, and it's kind of our DNA and my DNA, is sports brings people together. You know, I got asked, I was on the field before the Michigan State game, and I think it was Jeff Van Rapport asked me and said, you know, why do you do this? You know?
Right. Said, that's a good question.
And I said, because I look up in the crowd and there are people of every color. I'm certain there are people of every religion. There are young people and old people. And all they care about is what's going on in this stadium today. It brings them all together.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. We seem to be in a situation where a lot of things pull us apart. But sports seems to bring us together. And I want to be a part of things that bring us together. It makes our community better. It makes every day better. And when you tie that in with, as I said, kind of the coattails, it's a good spot for a business to be.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're talking about is what makes sports great. And without having people step forward and say, we are going to support this, not just with our checkbook, but also in community support to rally people around. I will just say Tim has been a big influencer on me in getting Sports 360 AZ off the ground and just to go chase it. And it's been 8 years now that I've been getting after it. And it's much like what you've done with Santan and then with the Ford dealers. And to see where Ray is, I think Ray is in the same space. We're all in different sizes, obviously. But I think for someone like Ray, as much as he has glowingly talked about what you've done, you've been somebody to help him out. And I just think people need to know that. So I appreciate you coming by. How do you feel about the game tomorrow?
You know, we're a couple touchdown dog. That's okay. I think we were 10 points under the water against Michigan State, and that doesn't seem to the deal. We didn't have too hard a time dealing with that. I like it. You know, I think I look at the long season. You know, I look at, hey, what would be a really good year? As you and I joked about, 6 wins in El Paso isn't what I'm looking for anymore, and I don't think it's what anybody is.
No.
If you want to aspire to great things, you have to aspire to great things.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just sort of kind of walk the slow walk. I like our chances tomorrow. I think the weather will be interesting from what I understand. I just happened to catch a little of the forecast before I came down here on the TV up in the hotel room, and they're saying the rain might not come quite as much only because it may be snow.
All right.
So we're going to get a little different scenario than we've had in the past, but I like us. I like us in a similar game to California. I think first team to 30 wins.
30?
Yeah.
I'm thinking less. I know Vegas is thinking higher. I think the weather. I think the fact that Eno can run.
I like about a 27-24.
Yeah. I'm thinking 20-17 type thing. But
and you could be right. You could very well be right.
I don't know about wind up here. So I've done games here through the years. The wind can be a problem. The wind can really be a problem up here because we're right at the base of the mountains.
Well, and as was said earlier, I'm going to have to take your word for that because.
I've never been here before.
It's a whole new world.
All right. I'm going to let Tim go off that. And we've done a couple hours of pop-up
Tim's
podcast.
The man. Tim is the man.
Go enjoy your night. Actually, we're going to go enjoy our night. And don't spill your beer.
Oh, it was empty.
Oh, it's a dead soldier?
It was a dead soldier.
All right. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks, man. Great, great time.
So, Pop-Up Podcast, guys, they have become a big part of what we do, and people really just like to hear Jordan Simone and Tim Healy and Tim Ovick just rap, and then you have people that will come by, and you just don't know who's going to do it. We appreciate them. We will be putting up other content from up here in Salt Lake City leading up to the game tomorrow over on Twitter. I may do another one of these tomorrow morning on game day because there'll be a lot of people here. Everybody's heading out to dinner tonight, so enjoy your evening on a Friday night.